chapter 24 of the book of Exodus. Acts chapter 24. I don't know why I'm getting Exodus. My intention, just as a head up to when we finish the book of Acts, we're going to go back and pick up with the book of Exodus, where we had left off in our study of Genesis, and move forward from there. And that may be the reason I keep saying Exodus every time I tell you Acts. But here we're going to be in Acts tonight, chapter 24. And we are looking here as Paul is brought before Felix. Now Felix, we find here, is the governor. He's there at Caesarea. And Paul has been delivered to him there for trial. As Claudius Lysias, the chief captain there in Jerusalem, has brought Paul there for Paul's safety, to protect Paul, because he understood the Jews trying to kill him. And so they brought him to Caesarea. He is there with in Felix, actually being held in Herod's judgment hall, waiting for Felix to call him to trial. Now, Felix has given him, even though he's being held as prisoner, Felix instructed he's not under arrest. He's just there for his protection. His people can still come and see him. They can bring him whatever he needs brought to him. And so he's just, even though it's kind of a house arrest that Paul has put there, it's for his protection and not necessarily for, because they deemed him to be some kind of awful prisoner that had to be put in prison. He's just waiting trial to come so they can figure out why this has come to pass here, why they hated Paul so much. And so they've got Paul here in the judgment hall. They called for the elders of Israel to come and make their case against him. Why is it that they caused all of that trouble there in Jerusalem just because this man came into Jerusalem, and they had to come to defend themselves and to bring these accusations against Paul? We come to chapter 24 here, and we find that 5 days pass after Paul is put in judgment hall, after they've sent letters back to Jerusalem to have the elders to come and tell why they were bringing these accusations against Paul. And it says, so after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. So they didn't, they were concerned enough themselves. You know how you hear all the time on TV, and you hear people all the time, you don't represent yourself in court, get you a lawyer. this is what the elders did here. They went and found them a lawyer to represent their side. And so they hired Tertullus here to speak for them, and he is, let me tell you, he is a silver-tongued devil. He does everything he can to make these accusations against Paul and at the same time tickle the ears of Felix as he's standing before him here. So they get them a lawyer to come in, and he's got his three-piece suit on, and he's standing there before Felix, and he's telling Felix all of these problems that they have with Paul here. And so it begins here, verse 2, he tells his accusation against Paul. And he says, and when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, see that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. He's talking to Felix here. Oh, great Felix. The greatest things in the world happened since you've been here as our governor. Oh, it's just wonderful. All these great deeds that have come our way. All these things it's just so good since you've been governor here, which is an absolute lie, because we find in the very next, maybe at the end of this chapter even, the last verse of this chapter, we find where Felix is replaced by Festus. Why was he replaced? Because Felix was found to be an inept leader. a sorry, good-for-nothing leader. That's basically what Rome said of him, and they removed him from office and put Festus in office. So these things that Tertullus is saying in his desire to please Felix are all lies, because that's not who Felix was at all. There were not these good things happening in Israel because of Felix's reign there. But he says here, that, saying, "See that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence." He's claiming quietness, when that's the very reason they're in court before Felix here, is because of the disquiet that happened in Jerusalem. So there wasn't great quietness. There was a turmoil that they tried to murder Paul there while he was in Jerusalem. And so he says here in verse 3, "We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness." Notwithstanding, he says. So after he lays on these smooth words to Felix, now he begins here in verse number 4 with the actual accusations against Paul. He says, "Notwithstanding, that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man, a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." So he declares these accusations. The elders and the chief priests there acknowledge, yep, that's what happened, and every single one of them were a liar. Every accusation he brought was a lie concerning Paul. He called him a pestilent fellow. Paul caused no problems when he came into Jerusalem at this time. In fact, remember, the church there at Caesarea, and the elders of the church there at Jerusalem convinced Paul that when he come, that he would come in the way of a Nazarite vow, apparently a Nazarite vow, to shave his head and come in and take part in worship, so that he would show that he had not given up the law, that he had not spurned the law of God as they were accusing him previously, but that he was still very much a Jew as far as Jews go. He was still concerned with the Mosaic law, and so they wanted him to come in and in that manner, and in a way that he would show his solidarity with Israel and with the Jews. But they're claiming here he's a pestilent fellow. They called him a mover of sedition, and he did not come and raise any stink when he came in there. It was only after the Ephesian elders came and saw Paul there, or not the Ephesian elders, but the Ephesian Jews came and saw Paul there in the temple, that's when the trouble started. It wasn't even because Paul was preaching to them at that point. He hadn't even opened his mouth yet when they begin to bring these accusations against him and threaten to kill him. Okay? It was only after that Claudius Lysias rescued Paul, and they said he came and took him with great violence. There was no violence there. The chief captain simply came in, his soldiers got Paul, and they simply carried him out. Nobody else was hurt. Nobody else was threatened. They simply came in and got Paul and took him out from the crowd, because the crowd was trying to kill him. And so then the last accusation there, they called him the profaner of the temple, because they were accusing him of bringing Trophimus into the temple. And Trophimus being a Greek. And they said, see, he's profaned the temple. He's brought a Greek into the temple. Well, Trophimus didn't come in to the temple. Somebody saw him outside and just, oh, well, he must have come in. He's here. Paul's here. He must have been in here. And so they were accusing him of bringing Trophimus in and defaming the temple there because they brought him in. That was not true either. Yet the chief priests and the elders all consented to what Tertullus was saying here. Said, yep, that's what happened. That's exactly the case. And so they brought this false accusation against Paul before Felix. Now, Claudius Lysias had already given his account to Felix and told him what had happened when he wrote his letter to him there in chapter number 23. And he told him that none of these things they were accusing him of, we couldn't find anything wrong with him. There was no reason for him to be arrested, and there was no reason especially for him to be put to death. And so this is the reason we brought him to you, to rescue him from this crowd that were trying to kill him here. So he had already given his testimony concerning it. And don't you know Felix was going to believe the chief captain of the guard over what the high priest and the elders were telling him, and this Tertullus, the lawyer here, as he's declaring to him this situation. But it's a reality that we looked at last week there in Matthew chapter 10. It is a reality the Lord told us would be the case. The world hates Christ. And so because they hate Christ, they will hate His people. And this is the very situation with Paul. It's the reason the Jews hate him so, is because he is declaring Christ Jesus to them. And this is their problem with him. The world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not want him as their Lord. They're fine with him as a babe in the manger. They're fine with him as a man dead on the cross. They're fine with him in those two situations. They just don't want him grown from the manger, and they don't want him rising from the dead after he died there on the cross. There's where they struggle. There's where the hatred comes. They're fine with him dead on a cross. They're fine with him as a baby in a manger. It's all that other stuff in between and after that they cannot stand. And so it is because of this that this hatred comes. Our Lord warns us of this. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13, describing his own situation, he says, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. And so Paul described that. They hate him, is what he's describing there. They hate him. And so they refuse to call him here the leader of the Christians. They called him the leader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And Paul would, of course, would have objected to such a title anyway. He would object probably to this title that's given here. He does not consider himself a leader of them. He's simply a follower of Christ, an apostle to the Gentiles, he says. And so I'm sure he would object to that. But here, this was the accusations that were brought. Paul was innocent, again, of every charge they brought, yet the Jews here, they assented, verse 9, saying that these things were so. They said, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what took place. And so Paul's defense begins in verse number 10. Paul speaks now, as he would declare here to them just what happens. And he says, then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do, and more cheerfully, answer for myself. Because thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. Paul says it was only 12 days ago that I came into Jerusalem to spend that time in worship. Just 12 days ago. 5 days he had been there in the judgment hall. Probably a couple of days, maybe 3 days, getting to there. And so you figure Paul, probably 8 days on his way to Caesarea and there at Caesarea. So, that, you know, he's only going to have probably 4 days that he was actually in Jerusalem, actually there in the city there, or in the the country, rather. And so he says, it's only 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. So they didn't come, they didn't accuse me and get me when I was preaching, when I was there in the temple, when I was in the synagogue. They didn't find me there preaching and stirring up the people. That's not what I was there for. That's not what I was doing. Verse 13, he says, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Man, what an answer Paul gave them. Yeah, they call it heresy, but I am simply worshiping the way the Scripture says. That's what he declared. That what the law and the prophets declare, that's how I am worshiping God. They call it heresy, he says, but it is the very word of God that I am following, Paul declares. And he says, so if they're accusing me of that, then I'm guilty. Because that's exactly what I do, he says. That's who I worship. And so, verse number 15, he says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Paul says simply, he says, even they believe in resurrection of the dead. I believe same thing. I believe resurrection of the dead, the just and the unjust, he said, just like they say. And so he's declaring to them their own beliefs, and yet they're holding accusation against him. And so Paul is laying it back at their feet here. And he says here that he has a clean conscience toward God. He said, I know I've not done anything wrong. I know that I've not hurt anybody. I've not done anything against any other person. I have a clean conscience toward God and toward men. I've told you the truth, and everything that I have done in Jerusalem, this is what I declare to you, he says. So now after many years, I came, he says, verse 17, to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Paul said that was the reason he wanted to come. He wanted to spend that time in worship on Pentecost, one of the feast of the Jews, the seven feasts of the year that God prescribed there in Leviticus chapter 23. And so Paul says, I've come to worship in that feast, to bring my alms, to bring my tithes during this time. And so he says, verse 18, whereupon certain Jews from Asia, those that had come from Ephesus and followed, had come themselves down for Pentecost and saw Paul there. And having seen Paul there, they stir up the trouble against him. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. Paul said, I was just in the temple. I was just in there worshiping. And they come in there and found me. I wouldn't stir no trouble up. I wouldn't cause nobody issues. I was just in there worshiping. They come and got me and accused me there while I was in the temple. Verse 19, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. He said, those are the ones that accused me first. They're the ones that stirred up this trouble. If they have a problem with me, they should be here making these accusations. But they weren't. They weren't the ones that made the accusations. It was the chief priest and the elders of the Sanhedrin that had come. This all happened after this tumult was made. Their accusations are things that are happening after the fact. And so he says, those folks should be here making this accusation. If indeed these things are true, if they have a problem with me, then they need to be here making these accusations against me. And so he says, verse 20, or else let these same hearers say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. Paul said, the only thing they heard me speak was that I believe in the resurrection of the dead. And he said, so if that's what they're holding accusation against me, let them speak that. Let them declare that. He said, that's the only thing I said when I was in the temple. And so here he's set these elders back on their feet. The very thing they believe, as far as their doctrine is concerned, the very thing they believe concerning the resurrection of the dead, Paul's saying, that's the only reason I'm here is because I believe the same thing they do. Now, if that's the accusation they're bringing against me, then let them state that's the accusation. Let them declare that they are accusing me because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Well, they're not going to accuse him for that. Because then they have to admit, then they have to say they're wrong. They would have to say it in accusing Paul, they would in turn be saying they don't believe the scriptures. They're going to have to skip around this. They're going to find some other way to do this. See, so it says when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, Felix. He understood the religion of the Jews. He understood exactly what Paul was saying here because his wife was a Jew. And so he understood that. That's what he's describing there in verse number 22. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. Well, hang on, he says. Let's just wait a minute. Let's wait till Lysias is able to come down, and we'll hear his testimony of these events. And so he kind of gives the chief priest a break here, that they're not held to what Paul was demanding of them. And so he says, we'll wait till Lysias comes down. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And so again, he continues with that house arrest, if you will. Paul's still allowed visitors. They're allowed to come to him. They're allowed to bring him whatever he has need of. And so verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He wanted to hear more about what Paul had to say. And so he has his wife Drusilla up there. Now Drusilla, he and Drusilla are curious of this faith in Christ. They've heard about it. They saw some of these results that had happened in Israel. Drusilla was from the line of the Herods. I believe it was her uncle was the one that beheaded John the Baptist. I think it was her father was the one that killed James, and the one that was eaten up of worms. Here they want to know more about this Christ and about the gospel of Christ. And so Paul reasoned with them about righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. It says there in verse 25, and as he reasoned of those things of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Scared him up. It bothered him as he heard of the gospel of Christ, as his eyes were opened here to his own sin and the fact that he was a sinner, that he was contrary to God and was under the judgment of God, and he trembled at this. It bothered him when he heard this reality. And so having been overwhelmed at what was being declared concerning his own judgment, he sent Paul away. That's enough for right now. That's enough. I can't handle this anymore. Just go away, and when I get calmed down and I decide I want to hear more of you, we'll bring you back and let you tell us more about it, he says. And so he sends Paul away for a more convenient season, he said. I will call for thee. There is no more convenient season than right now. There is no more convenient season than right now. Folks need to hear the gospel. Folks need to be saved. They need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to turn to Him. They do not need to seek a more convenient season. But this is what Felix decides here. And so he hoped also that money should be given him. Now this is what was funny. He called Paul up here to hear more about Jesus, but he hoped that when he called Paul up, that Paul would give him some money as a bribe and he'd let him go. That was what he was hoping. Paul didn't bring him no money. And then he got scared to death because of the gospel that Paul was preaching to him, you see. And so he hoped also that money should be given him of Paul that he might loose him, wherever he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So he calls him back a few times and talks with Paul about the gospel of Christ. But after 2 years, 2 years passes, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. In other words, he replaced Felix at this point. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And so Paul remains under arrest. These 2 years, Paul has been under arrest now in Herod's judgment hall while Felix was governor. Now he being replaced by Festus, he continues on in this prison. In chapter 25, Paul will stand before Festus and the new governor, and he'll tell him his story and declare to him also the gospel of Christ, at which Paul will be sent from Festus to Rome to be able to stand before Caesar and give his defense. Felix, by the way, was a former slave. He was known as a licentious, wicked man. And of course you have Tertullus there in the first part of this talking about how great he is. Drusilla was the daughter of Herod Agrippa, and that was the one who killed James and who was ate of worms when the people praised him and said this was a voice of a god, and he was ate up with worms before them. Her great uncle, I said her uncle, but it was her great uncle, was the one who killed John the Baptist and had him beheaded. And so after they leave office here, after they are removed, after these 2 years' time, Festus comes to power, and Paul will next stand before Festus to declare to him the gospel of Christ Jesus. And Lord willing, we'll get into his defense before Festus on Sunday. All right, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer now. Our Father,